How was your July 4th holiday? Did you enjoy it? Did you have a hamburger and a hot dog and put stuff on the grill and drink alcohol and fall down the stairs? And were you motionless for a while until the ambulance came and they took you to the hospital to check all your bones and make sure that you didn't break anything? And then they put a neck brace on you and you couldn't move around and you were in great pain and now you're on pain medication. How was your holiday?
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Well, all I have to say is...
whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Here it is. This is it.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you? Julie's fine. She's the woman that tells us that I'm your host. Can I offer you some shrimp cocktail? Huh? You know what I had yesterday? No, Ron, what'd you have? Oh, thanks for the interaction. I appreciate that. I had oysters. Why? Why would I do that? Why? I don't know. I was just in the oyster mood. I have no idea. I went to a local place, and they had oysters there, and I just felt like an oyster. I think I even looked like an oyster. Oysters are very interesting. They're served chilled. The person who is serving the oyster to you tries to pry them open as best they can. These are living things on ice. And they take this dull knife and they open up the shell of the oyster. They have to pry their way into it. It's like the oyster saying, "No, no, no, leave me alone." But you have to pry them open, and when you do, inside is basically a ball of snot. I mean, how else can you put it? Even if you like oysters, you've got to admit, it looked like someone sneezed heavily in that thing. It's a disgusting looking, nothing is more disgusting than the insides of an oyster, which is the stuff that you eat. Nothing is more disgusting than it. Nothing resembles disgust more than an oyster. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Do you ever have a really bad cold and you're all congested and it's like you got mucus city going on in there and you sneeze? It looks like you sneezed into an oyster shell. I know it's disgusting. I realize what I'm saying to you. But that's exactly what it is. No one can argue that point with me. Because it's true. And you taking a shot of whiskey, you take a shot of the inside of the oyster, you suck it in. Sometimes you put cocktail sauce on it. I don't know why they call it cocktail sauce, because there's no cocktail involved. That would be nice. Then you put horseradish on it. Anything you can to disguise the fact that this thing is disgusting that you're about to eat. But for some reason, those of us that like oysters see beyond all of this, and we find it to be an exhilarating experience. Oysters are even given credit for being sexual tools. Not that you take the oyster and you cram it into people, not in that sense. But in the sense it's an aphrodisiac. It's supposed to make you feel very sexy and very fertile, or very horny, I suppose the word is. Doesn't work for me. I don't think a shell with a large globular of snot looking material makes me especially horny. No. But I guess it does something to your insides. I have no idea what it does. So I had these oysters, and had six of them. You either have six of them or you have 12 of them. You never have anything in between. I like to have four oysters. No, I'm sorry, you can't. You got to have either six or 12. We treat oysters like eggs. Why? I don't know. I want a dozen oysters. Why? Why can't I get four oysters? Why can't I get seven? No, it's six or 12. They're eggs. Let's face it, they're eggs. No, they're not eggs. I don't care. That's how we're selling them, and that's it. So I had these oysters, and they were very good, very, very tasty. And apparently, see, I went to, the place that I went to was Legal Seafood. That's a chain of restaurants in New England, for those of you that don't live here. It's called Legal Seafood. And I've never been to Illegal Seafood. I don't know if there's a chain of those. If there is, I guess it wouldn't work out because you're walking into a restaurant that is serving you illegal seafood. I really don't know. But so I went to this place called Legal Seafood, and they had this stuff. And it was quite an experience. I had six of them in a row. It's not like I had two and then I went home and came back later. I had six in a row. I mean, ate one. And then for some odd reason, I had two. Then I went to the fourth one. No, I didn't. I had three after that. Then I had four. Then I had five. And then it kind of capped it off with six. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I had six in a row. Not immediately, but in a row, in that succession. One, two, three, four, five, six. I must admit, after the sixth one, I said to myself, I'm glad I didn't order 30 of these, or 30, I'm sorry, 36. You can't order 30. You have to order 36 of them. Seafood was legal, ladies and gentlemen. It was legal seafood. Very tasty. Very expensive, though. Very expensive. Apparently, there aren't too many oysters anywhere. Because these things were like $3 a piece, practically. It's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. I suck in this oyster out of the shell. I just sucked in $3. It's like taking cocaine through the nose. I just sucked in $3 right there into my system. Was I horny afterwards? No. No. Not at all. Not in the least. Not in the least. That's what I did. That was my July 4th. I have a problem with July 4th. Not as Independence Day and all that stuff. And whatever, you know, whatever. I'm talking about the fireworks. As I've said many times on this show, I don't believe in fireworks. They're illegal in the state in which I live, Massachusetts. As a matter of fact, there was a news report on a local news station that yesterday a guy in Weymouth, Massachusetts, had to have part of his hand amputated. Now, I don't know how you get part of your hand amputated. Either you're going to have the hand stay on or you're going to have the hand taken off. I've never heard of a partial hand amputation, although I'm no surgeon. I guess that's such a thing because that's what they reported on. The guy was shooting off fireworks, just like people do in their backyard, and the firework went off in his hand. Duh. sorry it happened, sir, or ma'am, I don't even know. And blew part of his hand off, and they rushed him to the hospital. They rushed him to a legal seafood location, and they amputated part of his hand. I don't know which part. I guess the bottom line is that'll teach you a lesson. I don't think you'll be setting off fireworks again, will you? Again, that's very cold and very cruel. I mean, it was probably a horrific, horrific experience for everybody. But this person will certainly be avoiding doing anything like that again very soon. I don't know what happens. I don't know if part of your hand grows back. I don't know how that works. I don't think it does. I think that's pretty much why fireworks are illegal, is because you can not only have your own hand blown off, but you're going to have the hands of other people blown off as well. It's a horrible thing. I don't care for the fireworks at all. I mean, I've lived a good life so far, and I've seen fireworks explode in the sky. I get it. I see what it looks like. I don't need to see this constantly. It's not necessary. They pretty much go up in the air, explode into a pattern of different colors and different patterns. Sometimes there's music somewhere in the background, and I get that. I get that. I have to share the experience, though, with millions of mosquitoes. They enjoy fireworks as well, apparently. They enjoy the show, because while mosquitoes are enjoying the fireworks display, they have a little snack on me and on people. They love to bite people, especially when they're standing there with their mouths open looking at fireworks after dark on the grass in an open meadow. Mosquitoes pretty much say, this is the best night of the year for us. We can go out and we can bite millions of people who are just standing there. They're not even avoiding us. They're just standing there. There's no citronella candles going off. Nobody's spraying anything. They're just standing. It's like flying into a meat locker and just having a field day. I mean, that's what these things do. So I don't see fireworks. There are fireworks on television. In the Capitol in Washington, D.C., they have a fireworks display. They have them in just about every town and city. But on TV, they have them. Macy's in New York airs their fireworks display at 10 p.m. The Boston Pops, Boston has one that they couldn't even see locally, apparently, this year. There are fireworks displays on television. And I started watching a little bit of one yesterday, and I said to myself, what the hell are you doing, Ron? What are you doing? You're sitting in front of the television set watching fireworks on TV. Let me explain something to you. Fireworks can be spectacular, probably, for about 3-4 minutes, if you're there. You have to see the fact that they're being exploded into the sky near or above you. They're larger than life. It's the fact that the canvas is the sky that makes them spectacular and amazing, if you're into fireworks, which I am not. But to sit on a couch and watch fireworks on a television screen kind of lose 99% of their intensity. And you have to say to yourself as you're watching fireworks on TV, you have to say at some point, this is ridiculous. What the hell am I doing? I don't understand that. I don't get that. I'm going to write a book someday about all the things that I don't understand and I don't get. The book will be 2 million pages long of all the things that cause me wonderment in one's lifetime, through my eyes at least.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
How you doing, kids? Welcome to the program. Good to see you once again. The Ron Van Dam Show can be heard every single weekday, unless it's a holiday like yesterday. We're always here. Yeah, I hope you make it a part of your weekday, because that's how I get paid. Will you do that, huh? You don't have to pay me. Other people pay me to do this. You don't have to. So it's a good deal for you, and a pretty good deal for me, too. We are heard all across the country on various outlets and platforms. We're on various platforms. You can hear us on the Podbean Network. You can hear us on iTunes, on TuneIn Radio. We're even partners with the Amazon Alexa thing. We're all over the place. And other podcast platforms as well. Or you can, of course, find us at the website, NewEnglandBroadcasting.com. Soon to have many, many programs for your entertainment and informational pleasure. Thank you so much for your endeavors. Let me introduce some of the staff here at New England Broadcasting on the Ron Van Dam Show. You're listening in the background to the music of Jason Shaw, who composes and performs much of the background music, including the opening theme. We also have the good graces of Mr. John Shanahan, who does our introductions and bumps, we call them bumps, and comedy commercials and stuff like that. Talented man, talented voice, talented mind. Far surpasses me in those categories. And of course, there's Nicolette, who's the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. And Julie. Thank you, Julie. And many others behind the scenes. Way behind the scenes. Like I'm talking about like miles away. And then there's you. I got to tell you a funny story. It happened to me 2 days ago. Funny story. Funny story.
Okay, get comfortable, everybody. It's time for one of Ron's funny stories.
I very rarely garden. I don't even know what the word means. I've seen people do it, and I don't understand why. But yesterday I had to do some gardening. Gardening to me means that I'm going to sweat a little bit, and my knees might get dirty. That's a lot to ask from me. I don't garden. I don't understand what it is. Garden is a noun, and for some reason it's turned into a verb in order to piss me off. On the side of my house, I have bushes, you see. And somehow mingled within those bushes were these weeds. And these weeds grew larger than the bushes. They had little purple flowers on the top of the weeds. They were flowering weeds. Sounds like some type of a Western cowboy song. But they weren't. These things were ugly. Even though it had purple flowers on the top, they were weeds. So I went out there with my hoe. That's what I call my girlfriend. That's a joke. She's not a hoe. At least that's not the one I'm referring to. I'm referring to the garden tool. Actually, she is a garden tool, come to think of it. Or just a tool. All right, stop. Just stop it. So I go out there, and this is a large weed. I'm going out there to whack my weed. Actually, it's funny. I was whacking my weed inside, and I actually went into the garage and got a tool and went to whack my weed outside. That's kind of interesting in a way. Poetic, perhaps? No. So I approach this large weed, of which there are about five of them embedded in these lovely bushes. But I had to take these things down. And I start going in there, and I start whacking at these large weeds. The weeds were, I'd say, good 4 feet tall. That's a pretty good size weed, ladies and gentlemen. If you're familiar with weeds, a 4 foot tall weed, that's a good size weed. We're not playing around with like little weeds here. These are gigantic, humongous weeds. These are weeds that if you didn't cut them down would probably become the Jack and the Beanstalk weed. Be a beanstalk. I've never seen a beanstalk except for in that stupid fairy tale fable thing. Never seen a beanstalk. Certainly not one that goes up into the clouds where there are giants. Anyway, so I start to whack in this thing. All of a sudden, I hear this mumbling. It almost sounds like my weed whacker. But it's getting louder. Out of this purple flower on top of the weed come about 5, 6, 7, maybe 7 million bees. Bees! Now, they weren't the giant bumblebees. Those are the furry things that pretty much come from science fiction movies. They weren't hornets. They were tiny bees. And they apparently were pollinating or having a damn good time on this purple flower on top of the weed. Along comes this Jew, that's me. The bees say to themselves, look at this. Here comes a Jew with a hoe. Trying to disrupt our activity. Hey, everybody, let's get the Caucasian. They come after me, ladies and gentlemen. They come after me with a vengeance. And I drop my hoe and I run like no Caucasian has ever run before. And I narrowly escaped the clutches of this family of bees. Now, this started a conflict. The bees were protecting these weeds, but these weeds had to come down. I didn't know what to do. Here was the conundrum that was involved. Just on Monday, on this program, if you were listening to this show on Monday, we had a guest on the show. I believe it was Monday's show. Yes, it was. Who talked about bees and how bees are becoming less in population, and they're finding dead bees all over the place. And without bees pollinating, it would upset the ecosystem or the ecosystem, and we would all die a horrendous, horrible death. We need bees for pollination in order to keep the system going. I don't know. That's what the guy said. Anyway, we're supposed to be really nice to the bees, yet the bees are coming after me. Now, what I'm doing is I'm chopping down their pollination point. So the bees are pissed at me. The bees don't know. You know, bees don't go to school. There's no bee school. There's no A school. They just, they see this white Caucasian man taking a garden tool to their important activities here. And they came after me. What I did was I waited until the sun went down, when the bees tend not to pollinate as much. I took some water mixed with some organic stuff to get the bees off of these plants, off of these weeds, temporarily at least, and then I chopped them down. But I was quite perturbed by the bees. They came after me, man. They came after me. They attacked me. They attacked me. Did you ever get stung by a bee? You swell up. You become a balloon. And you have to remove the stinger, which is hard to see. And you got to put all kinds of lotion on, which most of you do anyway, no matter what. It's a whole process. Sometimes you can really get sick from this stuff. Some people have allergic reactions where they need EpiPens. And believe me, EpiPens are not sold at Staples. These are expensive pens. They don't even write anything down. They save your life. You have to inject yourself with this little pin thing, and it'll save your life. I mean, you can't breathe. You puff up and inflame so much, it restricts your breathing, and it's just an awful thing. People can die from this. From a bee sting. From a little tiny bee. From it looks like a tiny little thing, like smaller than your pinky fingernail, can kill you if you're allergic to them. Don't mess with this stuff, man. Don't mess with them. And yet I'm supposed to be saving the bee population. That's like going into Germany and putting Nazis in your pocket and locking them in the closet because they're a dying breed. Thank goodness. But you know what I'm saying? I think they collude with the mosquitoes. I think they're all pissed at us because we've upset things. We started building homes and knocking down forests and just upsetting their whole system. And they're all really pissed. They're very pissed. They don't want us around. Be careful out there. I feel for you. If I lose one listener, that's a problem for me.
And that was another funny story from Ron. Wait, that was supposed to be funny? Wow.
I have a problem with sarcastic children.
Gentlemen, did you ever notice that it always seems to be the ladies who pamper themselves with a spa day, with the mani-pedi and the facials and the massage? Do you ever think maybe you'd like to have a special day for yourself, but you are afraid it might be a little gay? Well, good news, gentlemen. Now you can have your own special spa day at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Let Ramon Ramirez take the stress off a tough day with a long, deep massage. It's not gay, it's therapeutic. After you relax, Ramon Ramirez will use special oils and lotions and maybe clean up some of your hairier man parts. It's not gay, it's hygienic. A lot of guys are doing it. Then it's time to kick back and let it all hang out in a long steam room session with Ramon Ramirez. It's not gay, much. So gentlemen, why wait? It's time for you to have a great day for yourself at Ramon Ramirez's Not So Gay Salon for Men. Please, no fat guys.
All right, we're going to talk about something now that is interesting. As we all get older, our bodies deteriorate. That's always fun to talk about, isn't it? Isn't that nice? It's always a comforting thought. As you get older, you start to fall apart. Thanks a lot, Ron. Thanks for bringing that up. Well, it's true. The same things happen to your eyes. When's the last time you had your eyes examined? When's the last time you had your head examined, I say, Mr. Trump? But you should have your eyes examined on an annual basis, no matter what age you are. There are reasons for eye problems and eye diseases beyond just getting old. A huge segment of the population wears eyeglasses or contacts, not because they like to, but because they should and they have to. So let's talk with Dr. Bonnie Anderson. Hello, doctor.
Good morning.
This is Dr. Bonnie Henderson, and we're talking. She's actually a Boston-based ophthalmologist. Oh, okay. You're around the corner. There you are. Wave to me. There you are. I can see you now. I can see it. We're talking about Cataract Awareness Month, which is in June, and let's start from the beginning. What are cataracts?
Sure, that's a great question. A cataract is actually very common. It's a clouding of the eye's natural lens that used to be clear when you're young. So if you're lucky enough and you live long enough, then everybody will develop a cataract. So it's quite prevalent.
Okay. Are cataracts treatable? What do we do if we find that we do have cataracts?
Absolutely. So the first important step is really to get a good eye exam by your eye care professional, mm-hmm. and they'll be able to diagnose it properly. And if you actually do have a cataract, it is probably one of the most safest and most common surgeries performed in the U.S. Oh. So a straightforward cataract surgery, which is an outpatient procedure, removes a lens and an artificial lens implant is placed. Uh-huh. And the nice side benefit of cataract surgery is that not only can you remove the cataract lens, which is clouding your vision, uh-huh. you can actually fix things like astigmatism, and a lot of people even can get rid of glasses for most tasks with cataract surgery. So it's actually a very straightforward procedure.
Is this a laser kind of operation, or is it something where you actually go into the eye?
We actually go into the eye, but lasers are used in cataract surgery nowadays. The majority of surgeries are done by a high-speed ultrasound that everybody thought was a laser for many, many years, and now we actually do use lasers as part of the procedure, but mostly it's done by high-speed ultrasound.
Would I know if I have a cataract? Would my vision change suddenly, gradually? How would I? Of course, your ophthalmologist would tell you, but what if a lot of people don't go to eye doctors? I hate to say, but they don't.
What?
I know.
So here are the symptoms. So oftentimes it starts off as very subtle changes in your vision. Uh-huh. So most people notice that things like nighttime driving becomes more difficult because of glare from the headlights.
Okay.
And some people notice things like difficulty reading. They find that they need brighter and brighter lights to read.
Okay.
And if you're a golfer, a lot of people say after they hit their ball, they lose it in the contrast with the sky. So that those are oftentimes very common. And the symptoms do build gradually, but oftentimes at the end, when it becomes very visually significant, it grows exponentially. And people say almost, you know, within a few months, they find that they're really struggling with their vision.
Okay.
But it affects a lot of people. Here in Massachusetts, it affects over 500,000 people just here in our state. And in the country, it affects about 24 million people just in the U.S., So it is very, very common.
I assume that besides the physical situation of having problems with your eyesight, that's an emotional, it's probably very an anxious, anxiety-driven thing to experience.
It is. Oh, it is. You're absolutely right. And to that point, a company called Alcon did a survey, and they surveyed people over the age of 60 who had cataract surgery, and they found that people who had cataracts before they had the procedure found that they were frustrated and scared and annoyed.
Yeah.
But then after the procedure, after the cataract surgery, 3 out of 4 people found that they were much happier, they were more satisfied with their lives, and 93%, I believe, would recommend cataract surgery to someone who is scared or worried about the procedure. So it is something that people are very worried about losing their vision.
I actually know somebody that wishes they had cataracts. I don't know if that's a weird thing or not, but because they figure that way, because they've worn glasses all their life, and this way, you know, their eyesight would be corrected automatically, whereas otherwise they probably wouldn't. I mean, are there certain people that if you have cataracts, you have to have cataract surgery? Are there situations where that's not an option?
Very few. Okay. It's very, very unusual that someone cannot have cataract surgery because, first of all, the procedure is an outpatient procedure. So even somebody who is elderly and they have other systemic diseases, they can almost always undergo surgery.
Okay. Well, this is a good thing then, I guess. I mean, it's not good to have cataracts, but it's a good thing that we can take care of them in this day and age. And we can do something about that. Once the lens is corrected in the eye, can, after a period of time, it need correction again?
No. So once a cataract is out, it is out for good.
Good.
So you never have to have the surgery again.
Good.
However, sometimes there is a capsular membrane behind the lens that gets cloudy over time for a lot of people, and then they would need a very simple laser procedure to open up that membrane.
Okay.
And the procedure takes about less than a minute and very safe.
I guess the other message is to see your, we'll call it eye doctor, on an annual basis anyway, no matter what age you are.
It's true. The problem is in the eyes, there are a lot of eye diseases such as glaucoma or macular degeneration or cataracts that actually develop them, and they don't have any symptoms early on.
Yeah.
So unless you are examined by an eye care provider, a lot of people don't realize that they're actually suffering from eye disease.
Yeah.
And if people want to find out more about it, they should visit mycataracts.com or they can call 1-844-MY-CATARACT.
Excellent. Well, you've covered it all, and thank you so much for the information. I think you've prompted a lot of people to go have an examination. So that's a good thing.
It is.
Thank you, Dr. Henderson.
Well, thank you, and happy Cataract Awareness Month.
Well, thank you, and same to you. It sounds so odd when you say that, but okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you for having me.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Fill my eyes with that double vision. No disguise for that double vision. Ooh, when it gets through to me, it's always new to me. My double vision is the best of me.
Dr. Bonnie Henderson, ladies and gentlemen, give it up. All right, fine. Well, we've come to the end of another road trip through life as we hold hands and fancifully trip through the path of existence together. I feel like a virtual tour bus as a guide that stands up in front of you as you sit on your bus looking out the windows at life as it passes us by, as I point out the various attractions upon the road to eternity. Thus we make many stops, basically to pee, but also to take a deeper look at some of the attractions in life that pass us by. It is my job as tour director to point them out, to stop, and to look deeper into what is a feast for the senses. Hold my hand as I outstretch it toward you. Grasp it firmly as we walk together down this experience, this cacophony of tastes and touch and smell and sight. Together we shall endeavor upon this journey. Together. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Be with you again tomorrow, huh? Yeah? And we'll touch again and we'll smell together. Let's go have oysters together. You want to have oysters with me? You don't want to see me eating oysters. And believe me, I don't want to see you eating oysters or anything. Do that on your own, please.